Today's share in Mishnah Brura Yomi is Daf Chav Vav Amud Beis. We're in Siman Yudalet talking about Hilchos Tzitzit still, and we're going to finish up this Siman today with Seifim Dalet and Hey, which deal with borrowing someone's talis without their permission. The Mechaber starts off and says, Mutur li tol talis chaveiro levarech aleihu. A person has the right to go and take a talis of his friend and make a bracha on it, even that the friend hasn't given him permission to use. Of course, he hasn't told him you can't use it, but if you find stam talis in the shul, you're allowed to go and take it. Bilvad shekapeloso imitzor mekupelis. Mechaber says you must fold it back up and return it to its place if you found it that way in order for you to be able to use it. The Ramah adds, Hagav uhadin betfilin. The same thing applies with tefillin as well. If a person leaves something in a shul, one can assume that the person won't object to your using it. The Mishnah Brura explains why. In Siv Katan Yud Gimel, and he says, Pirish, Shalomi Daito, you're doing this, of course, without your friend's knowledge, but it's acceptable, denichal elyinish de la'ave de mitzvah b'mamone, that in general, a person is only too happy to know that some other Jew is doing a mitzvah with his money, with his property. And this way, he obviously doesn't object. But then the Mishnah Brura lists a whole bunch of qualifications. The Davka Bakrai, this has to be something that's done only occasionally, as brought down by the Bach and the Magen Avraham. Avol B'kvi is also, to do this on a regular, daily basis is not good. It's not allowed. And even on an occasional basis, Vafilu Biakroi, Dafka Biosamokum, only in that place. You're not allowed to remove it from the place where it is. You can use it in the shul and then put it back exactly in the cubby or in the closet or in the chair, wherever you found it. Avol Hotzio Mi Beiso, Lebesa Knesses, but to take it out of the person's house and bring it to the shul and use it there. Oivcha, take it from the shul and use it in your house, would be Osir. The Efshar Shemak Bidolov, because this way the person may not be happy and he will object. We can't just assume nobody minds in that situation. We have to presume he does mind Vahave Gazel, and it would be like Geneva. Then the Mishnah Brura says, look in the Prima Godim, Shekosav de Bechol Gavne Roy Lizosh Kishabolov Imo Shishalenu. Never presume that the guy won't mind if he's there to ask. If the person is there, go up to him and ask, can I borrow your talus? Could I borrow your tefillin? Don't presume that he won't mind. And we can't rely upon, yeah, most people don't mind, or this guy never minded in the past. He's right there, go and ask him. You can't rely upon a presumption. The call chicane, and certainly, if you know this guy doesn't lend it out, you saw him yell at somebody the other day for using his talus without permission. So of course you can't presume that he's not going to mind. And of course, if you use a talus in that situation, it is actually geneva, and you're not yotze. In Dishonot 27, they bring down that this principle of Denichal Elyinish de La'avid Mitzvah B'mamone applies to other people as well, not only a man to a man, but it would apply to a woman as well. And it even would, according to Moshe Feinstein, apply to taking the property of a child, as long as the child obviously is of the age, Shenichal de La'avid Mitzvah B'mamone. In the Shari Tshuva, he brings down, in the name of the Taz and the Marshal, that you're only allowed to take the talis if the person hasn't put it in a special place. If it's in his locker, for example, you're not allowed to take it from there. Only in lo hinicha b'moko miyuchad, similar davar sheino makbid al makomo rishuso. He leaves it on the table, he leaves it on a chair, he leaves it on an open area, so then you can assume he doesn't mind if people use it. But if he locks it away, you're just because he didn't lock it up in a way that you can't get it, doesn't mean that you're allowed to take it. And Dirshu footnote 29, they bring down that the Aruch HaShulchan paskins like this as well. In that Dirshu footnote, they also ask, why don't we go after the principle that Bedinei Mamonos Ein Holchin Acharov? By monetary matters, we normally don't go after the majority. So why don't we apply that over here? This is a monetary matter. The person might object to you using his property. So he brings down, in the name of the Igris Moshe, Mishum Shetolim, we can rely upon the fact, Shekol Ho'anashim Einon Makbid Makach. Unless you know for certain that somebody's Makbid, it's such a strong road that people are only too happy that somebody's doing a mitzvah with their property, and therefore we can rely upon this, even in these Dinei Mamonos, Lochein Yochol Lesatei Bo. You could, in fact, take the talus and use it and wear it, and it won't be a problem. Again, with the understanding that you don't destroy it in any way, that you properly fold it back and put it in its place, and that you don't take it out of that room. In Siv Katan Yudala, the Mishnah Brura writes to go look in the Magen Avraham as to why you're allowed to make a bracha. So Dirshu footnote 32 brings down this Magen Avraham and says that the Svari here is not simply based upon Nichal Eliyinish L'Avid Mitzvah B'Mamone, because that wouldn't necessarily be good enough to allow you to make a bracha. But he says, the Magen Avraham writes, Mutar lo levarach, because it is similar to the case of when you borrow a four-cornered garment from somebody and you put tzitzis on it that you're allowed to make a bracha. He says it's similar to a mitzvah aseh shazman groma that women are potter from, but they're allowed to make a bracha. So too over here, you're technically potter, but you're allowed to make the bracha. However, the Mishnah Berurah does bring down the Derech HaChaim, who says, Yosa tov shi chavi lo liknos. In this situation, you want to wear the talis so you don't look out of place, you're not embarrassed, everybody else has a talis on and you don't. But, he says, in this situation, you're really running into trouble in terms of making the bracha. So he says, have in mind that you don't acquire it. If you don't acquire it, then everybody agrees you don't make a bracha. And the reasoning here is, Ein zeh dome l'talis she'ula. Shehito Botzitzis Shemavarchan Alau. The Derech HaChaim doesn't agree with the Magen Avraham. And in Dirshu No footnote 33, he brings down Shekan Meduber Shegam HaChutim Shulam. Here, you're also borrowing the talus and the fringes, not in the case that we just brought down by the Magen Avraham, where you're only borrowing the four-cornered garment and you're adding the tzitzis. And therefore, this is more comparable to a case of when you borrow somebody's esrog, that you're not allowed to make a bracha on it on the first day, because you can't assume that he's giving it to you as a matana almanas lahachzir, because he hasn't actually done so. In footnote Tezvav, the Mishnah Berurah reminds us that you have to fold up the talus the way that it was gotten. And he says, Kikipula Rishon. On a weekday, you fold it up exactly the way it was, on the creases, put it back nicely in the bag, you close the bag, you put everything back exactly the way it was. That's the heter that you have to use it, that you're not going to damage it or put it back in a way that he's going to be upset. However, on Shabbos, the Mishnah Berurah points out, when there's a problem in folding up a talus because it may be misakin mona, so then, in this situation, you're not allowed to fold it on the original folds, lo kikipula harishon, because this would be a problem of Isser Shabbos. But if you just fold it up and put it away, not on the original folds, then it's not considered misakin mona, and it would be permissible. However, the Mishnah Berurah brings down a kula from the Magen Avraham, and he says, on Shabbos, you don't have to fold it up at all. And in Dirshu note number 35, he brings down the reasoning from the Machzis HaShekel, who says, Yochol hanotel lachshosh l'das ha-sovrim. The person who's using the talus over here without permission is allowed to rely upon those opinions that say, Ein hetel l'kapel av shelo kikipul rishon. There are those that say you can fold up the talus not only on the original folds, which is Masakin Mona, but even to fold up the talus in any way is a problem. And therefore, you can rely upon the idea that the owner of the talus would be better off that nobody was over any isurim with his property, even if they weren't isurim that were held by all. And this way, so it's not folded up perfectly, it's not really going to damage or ruin your talus, so most people would prefer that somebody not be over any Yisurim, even though there are opinions that say that it's acceptable to fold it on the Kipula Hashniyah. So therefore, according to this opinion of the Magen Avraham, one shouldn't fold the talus at all on Shabbos if he borrows it. In the Bir Halacha, the Chofetz Chaim brings down an interesting question. Sheila, im mechuyev adam lahashil talus shelo l'mishadar b'kvar, kidei shehu yitzdarech lishol talus mi'acherim b'iro. Listen to this case over here. Your town has plenty of talesim, but somebody from a small town comes to you and says, can I please borrow your talis? Our town, a small little shtot, has no talesim. If you lend us your talis, everybody in our town will be able to use it. And you can borrow another talis from somebody here in your town. Is a person obligated to do so? So the Mishnah Berurah brings down from the Tshuvas Beis Yaakov, Eino Mechuyev, a person is not Mechuyev to do this, Lahashil Taliso Liacher, to lend his own talis to somebody else, and then he'll have to go borrow a talis. However, interestingly, in regards to an esrog, the same Tshuvas Beis Yaakov says, yes, you should lend your esrog to somebody else in another town, and you'll borrow somebody else's esrog over here. Why the difference? He says, Kevin Shirabim Haim, since now in that other town, it's not one person that will use the talus, but many people will benefit from the esrog. In this situation, it's better that you lend them your esrog, and you borrow an esrog over here. The Ramah then brings down a very important practical din, and he says, while this is true of talis and even of tefillin, you can borrow it without somebody's permission, he says, Aval osur lilmod misfarim shel chaveiro below daito, de chayshinon shema yikra osom bilimudo. But if you're in a base medrash and you see a sefer lying around, and to pick it up and learn from that sefer, that you're not allowed to do, because you have to be concerned that you're going to rip it, and therefore we can't presume that a person is going to be happy about somebody else using his sefer without permission. The Mishnah Berurah in Os Tes Zayin points out that this is even afilu biakroi biyama. Just a one-time usage is also not allowed. What's the difference here? The chayshinun shema yikra bohen harbe. You're going to read from it a lot. A sefer is not something that has a time limit. You wear a talis for shachris and then you take it off. But you get so engrossed in the sefer over here until you get so excited about learning from it. Ashi is karu meirov hamishmush. Since you're using it so much, you're going to possibly have a higher likelihood of tearing it, and especially in those days when svarim weren't so easily available, that would be a tremendous loss to the person, and therefore people were much more makpid about their svarim than they are about a talis or tefillin, which you really don't destroy by using for a short period of time. The Shaar HaTzion later on in Siman Tuf Resh Mem Tes is brought down in Dirshu footnote 36, points out Mishum She'ein Shir L'Limud, because learning has no end. You could learn from that sefer for hours. Ulekein Osir Afilu Be'akroi Bovad, and therefore it's even Osir on a one-time basis. The Mishnah Berurah then points out V'ha'olam Nohagim Kishemotzin Sidur Tfila Omachzur Beveitz HaKnesses Shalokin Oso Kedei L'Spalabo. The world is nevertheless knowing to borrow. Now, we're talking about a person's private sitter or private master. We're not talking about the shul's siddurim and machzorim, which of course are meant to be lent out. But if you walk up and you take somebody else's sitter or machzor, the Mishnah Berurah says, the velt is makel. People allow this to be done. But the Mishnah Berurah says, v'eini yodeya hetul zeh. I have no idea why this is so. The Maishno Siddur Misvarim. Why should it didn't be any different by a Siddur or Svarim? A person, again, is going to be concerned that when somebody uses their Siddur, they're going to rip it. Again, in those days especially, we didn't have the modern availability of easy access to Svarim and relatively low cost, so people were very makbid about their Svarim or Siddurim being destroyed, and the Mishnah Berurah is left with a Tzarich Iyun as to why there should be a difference between a Siddur and a Sefer. Some suggest the reason may be really the Shaar HaTzion, that the Chafetz Chaim himself wrote down that there's a difference between a sefer which has an unlimited potential usage and a siddur or a machzor has a very specific usage. The Aruch HaShulchan also points out that nowadays when svarim are so much more readily available and they're not as expensive, so the halacha might be different nowadays even regarding svarim. The Kaf HaChaim expresses a similar idea and says if you leave your siddur in shul, mistama you don't mind if people use it. And this is, in fact, the understanding of many poskim, that since things are left in a beis medrash or in a shul, and as long as the person puts it back in its place and doesn't destroy it or use it in a way that's damaging to it, most people will not be makbid today, and that seems to be the heta that the world relies upon. In Dirshu note 37, he brings down the interesting question about all of the sidurim and svarim that are found at the Kotel HaMaravi. So he brings down from Rav Shlomo Zalman Zatzal, Sha'afim Rishumim Behem Shemos, Uksuvos Ksovos Shalanoshim, even though it has the name and addresses of people inside of these svarim, you pick one up there, you're allowed to use it, because Mipnei Shekakola Nira Das Osam Hanoshim Lenadev Sidurim Elul Litzorach HaRavim, because most people, if they're leaving the Sidurim over there, or their svarim over there, are intentionally putting it there for the Rabim to use. Of course, if they actually donated it, then it's clear that it can be used. But here we're talking about where it's their own private sefer. It has their name and address in it, but they don't mind that other people use it. The Chazon Ish likewise matred people to sit in chairs or mistama to use a shtender that somebody else left in a shul or in a beis medrash, because that's the purpose that a person left it over there. He doesn't mind if other people use it. Again, one has to be careful. Sometimes you'll find a note or a statement on a personal private property that says, please, I am makbid, do not use it. And of course, in that situation, it's absolute gezela if somebody were to go and use the item. Sifhei, talis shel shutfin, a talis that is owned jointly by two people, chayevis betzitzis, if they're both themselves obligated in the midst of tzitzis, two men above the age of 13 own it, so then the talis itself, the four-cornered garment, has an obligation to have tzitzis put on it. Dechsiv al kanfei bigdehem, on the kanofim, plural, of your garments, plural. So this teaches us even if it's owned by multiple people. The Mishnah Berurah in Sivkot and Yud Zayin brings down, however, if the shutvis is between a nochri and a yisrael, a non-Jewish person who's not obligated and sits in a yid, or a man who's obligated and a woman who's not, then it's chayevis betzitzis, the garment has to have fringes put on it if you're going to wear it, but you're not allowed to make a bracha on it because they're not obligated in the mitzvah, and it's as if two of the four corners aren't obligated in the bracha, and therefore you can't make a bracha. And this has brought down the name of the Aretz Yisrael Chaim. However, it's not like the Damesek Eliezer, who says that it is chayev in tzitzis. In Dirshu footnote 39, he brings down that a shutfis between an adult and a child, a boy under the age of bar mitzvah, so if the Chasam Sofer brings down, kivan sha'akotin osid lahagia l'klal chiyuv, kishe yigodo, since the child will grow up and be obligated, hare kvar ka'es hu shayach b'chiyuv b'tzitzis v'tzorach l'varach alel. Then you would in fact have to put tzitzis on it, and you would be allowed to make a bracha on such a talis. Finally, in Sivkot Yudches, the Mishnah Berurah points out that we said that the two Jews that own the talis, it's chayiv and tzitzis, it's only if each of them is permitting the other one to use the talis and to wear it. Then, if it has a four-cornered garment, you have to put tzitzis on it, if either one of them uses it. However, if the shutfim are makbid on each other and don't want the other person to wear the garment, if the garment is large enough that if you divided it up, you'd still have two fully-sized talisim, so technically, one partner can force the other partner to divide up the property, so theoretically you could argue each of them has the full shear of a talis. Nevertheless, afilu hochi im lovsho begezela umivarech alav over below sisa. If you wear such a talis and you go about it and you make a brach on it, you're actually over lo sisa Hashem Hashem Elokech alashav. You're over saying God's name in vain. Because technically, part of it, as I said, the 50% that's not owned by you doesn't have your tzitzis on it. The kol shekein a main bow adayin tzitzis, and certainly if it doesn't have tzitzis on the garment yet, and you put tzitzis on it, you wouldn't be allowed to make a bracha. Ulafize betalis shenishar lahayorish miovid, and two sons inherit their father's talis. Ushar echov makbidim alav, and one brother is makbid on the other brother not to wear the talis. Yesh lizar shalolavarech alav, you wouldn't be allowed to make a bracha on such a talis. Achi ishpashu beneim, until they decide the yerusha how they want to divide it up, and then the person who zocha to get the talis can make a bracha on it. This concludes today's shiur.